Today is your anniversary, is it not?
Today is one of my anniversaries, yeah.
What do you mean one of your anniversaries?
Well, at this point, I pretty much just count the days of the year that aren't an anniversary of some sort.
How many do you have?
I don't know, all of them. We got married twice. Long story.
Right.
So now we have two actual wedding anniversaries every year.
And this is something that you are not fond of?
That's double the forgetting right there. And I'll tell you what, when you have two anniversaries, even though you remember one of them, and then 5 months later the next one comes,
right?
Do not get flowers.
You've made the mistake?
The end. And welcome to episode 63 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan. I'm sitting in Tubingen, Germany. And with me, as always, is...
Adam.
We've been over this.
That was a good lead-in.
Yeah, I thought it was okay, but then you kind of whiffed on it, though.
No, I was just trying to, you know, bring a different sort of tone to my intro.
So in Vancouver, Canada.
Yay, Vancouver. Yeah.
It's the whole international aspect that is our big selling point.
Right.
That and my washboard abs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even want to ask.
I am up early and you're up late.
Yes. Time change out here. Spring forward.
Yeah, you guys did the daylight savings change and we did not.
Yeah, so we got later for me and earlier for you.
Yeah, essentially.
Or the same time for you and just later for me, because you're a bit of a jerk.
Good point.
Yeah.
You make it difficult to argue. I feel like we split the difference on this one, but...
yeah, you're
both
right.
Jerks. Which I think is, yeah, in the bio. That's what people... When we go to parties, people say that. Hey, those the, yeah, they're both jerks.
Yeah. The jerk show.
Yeah. So, yeah, daylight savings, we're 2 weeks behind here, so it's a little bit of a kink in the hose.
So next week you guys go forward?
Next Saturday, yeah.
So it'll be messed up for one more week.
One more, yeah. Depends when we record.
Great.
So everybody mark
Looking
that
forward
down.
To it.
Yeah, mark that down. Either way, I'll have lost an hour, so I'll still be a mess.
Perfect.
But I love it. I love daylight savings time myself. I love when it's light out late.
I agree.
Except for, don't you get up at like 3 a.m. to go to work?
Yeah, 5. I get up at 5.
It's dark then, though, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Okay. That was this week in astronomy or something or whatever. Whoever deals with that, with the earth turning. What did you shoot this week?
Not a whole lot. I'm getting primed and ready to do some shooting this weekend.
Right.
So we're going to Bellevue, a little north of Seattle. So I'm going to take some pictures there. So I'll have something to report on next week. But as of this past week, I did not take any pictures. I was busy with other stuff. So, yeah, and I also am going to do a little photo shoot for some friends, some family portraits and stuff on the weekend as well. So when we get back from our trip, then I will be doing that.
Wow, next episode is going to be fantastic.
Oh, it's going to be loaded with great anecdotes.
Really wasting your time listening to this one.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Wow.
Next week.
Great. Yeah.
What about you? Anything happen in your world?
Yeah, I shot a bunch of stuff. I shot some family portraits for some people who had commissioned me to do this. So actually, they're friends, and they're having their second kid on the way.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to get some pregnancy pictures with the family, and except for the kid, their kid is turning 2 today.
Okay.
And so they do call it the Terrific Twos. Is that the name?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's absolutely the Terrible Twos.
My kids were angels, yeah. So I don't have anything
obviously
to say. Yeah.
So, yeah, the kid would not cooperate. So when they came over to do, they wanted like some white background pictures and all that all together. All he saw was muffins. And it was muffin time. Because my wife had made, she had made muffins for after.
What kind of muffins?
Oh, they're not even, I mean, they're excellent muffins, but I wouldn't think a kid would like them. I think they're like some sort of whole wheat thing. But they're great. But he just saw them and that was it. No pictures. He wanted cookies. He thought they're cookies, first of all.
Oh, there you go.
And so that was it. It was nothing but cookies. Cookies. Okay, come on over here. Take it. No, cookies. All right.
Look what you have to look forward to.
It was like dealing with you.
Yeah.
A little bit. So that's what I shot.
Okay. You shot the cookies?
I shot the we ended up stopping a little bit early. And then I had to sweet talk him into going and standing next to mommy's belly.
So you got the shot.
I got the shot eventually, but it took a little while.
That's why you're a professional.
I don't know. I think if I was professional,
I would have just ate cookies. I would have just gone right in there with him and ate cookies and just said, you know what? Kid doesn't want to do it. Let's all just have a cookie.
You make an excellent point. He's got a good point there. Those are cookies. They're muffins though. So yeah.
Right.
Anyway. And then, I spent the last few days I have spent, not entirely, but spent getting caught up on basically, editing down my aperture libraries.
Okay.
You know how every time you go out and shoot, you shoot your pictures, you bring them in and you edit like that immediately. You go and cut down all your what do you call the ones that you don't keep?
The trash?
Sure. I can't think of it. It's 6 o'clock
in the morning. Throwaways?
The throwaways. I think like the selects are the ones you keep and then the other ones. Anyways, so you get rid of all the ones that are out of focus or just your test shots, whatever they are.
Yeah.
I try to do that immediately when I bring it in to Aperture.
Me as well.
But guess what? I don't always do it. And sometimes it gets away on you and you think, oh yeah, I'll get to it. But meanwhile, you're shooting and it doesn't happen. And especially when we had Emily, it was, you know, I shot a lot more pictures because you don't want to miss any single moment, right?
Right.
And you're busy shooting and having a brand new baby, you don't have time to edit your pictures.
Okay.
So, like I should edit this story, I went through and cut down, finally went back, and in the last 12 months, that's all I've gotten through the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Just cut out, how many gigabytes do you think I've cut out?
12 months?
Yeah.
Let's say 50.
Yeah, probably 90.
Wow, close to 90, that's a lot.
90 or 100 of just throwaway nonsense that doesn't need to be there.
Wow.
That's
a lot, yeah.
And like there are photo shoots that I had already, you know, gone through and basically deleted things. And these are the ones that I hadn't got to yet. So
okay.
So
it's great. It's great informative stuff. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I'm telling you it's been killing me to do it. But in the last year, saving, like, let's say, call it 100 gig, and you're backing those photos up.
Yeah, it makes the aperture run very slowly.
Well, yeah, that true, that too. But I mean, I have different libraries for that reason. But the point is it takes up physical room on your disk space on your disk.
Right. Yeah.
So that 100 gig, and when you're backing it up, that's another 100 gig.
Yeah.
And I have another backup off-site in Vancouver, so that's, you're looking at 300 gig I just deleted from a year.
That's good. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. I win.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I win. The good news is I got a couple more years to go through.
Right.
And I've been more discerning the last couple years than I was the first couple, so that's going to be awesome. And you have to think, do I really need this picture of my lens cap sitting next to my keyboard?
Probably not.
I don't know if I need it. Am I going to frame that? Probably not.
Yeah, that's a throwaway.
Yeah. So there you go. That was that. That was a lot of fun. Stay on it. My tip is stay on it.
Oh, okay, there's a tip. Thank goodness there's a tip.
Okay. Something tells me you want to get moving.
I think everybody does.
I can read your body language and I can't even see you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Move along.
I think it's you're leaning forward. Okay, last week we talked about metering.
Yes.
And I said I would go and shoot a sample. To illustrate.
And I've been waiting for your sample.
I know, pins and needles, man.
Yeah.
So you know how like when you're walking around the backyard and you come across like a difficult lighting situation where there's a glass of water sitting on a log with a shack in the background? You know.
I know exactly what right. you're talking about.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
So then you want to snap a picture. Well, which metering mode do you use? And so
In the past, what would you have used?
Probably, for a long time, evaluative.
Right. Me too.
And so even now, if I'm just running around shooting quickly, still evaluative.
Yeah.
You know. But if you want to be dead on, so point being is I set this up a couple days ago to shoot the same picture four times to show the difference in metering styles.
Okay.
Okay. I set it on AV mode. On aperture, I'm going to say, ISO 100. Call it aperture of F4, I believe it was. But okay. But the point was, is I let the camera select the shutter speed. And he took the exact same photo four times and let the camera decide based on the metering mode.
Okay. So where are you metering off of?
I am metering dead center. I didn't meter and recompose. So it's dead center right off the sort of the just below the top of the log.
Okay.
You see where we're looking? Right.
I'm looking right at it.
Okay. So that's where we metered. And so with the evaluative, you can see it takes into account the entire image, which does a pretty good job.
Looks like it's right in the middle of everything.
Yep. That's what it does. It looks at all the blacks and says, okay, let's try to make sure we get some of this, some of the whites, and everything else will kind of fall in between. And so it does, I think, a pretty good job. Then we go down to partial, and that's the one, what does partial do? Oh, it just does a smaller spot. It's like a spot, but not quite as spot as spot is.
It's a bigger area.
Yeah, I don't know who translated the manual, but that's what mine actually says.
Okay.
No, it's smaller than evaluative. Evaluative takes into consideration the entire scene. Partial narrows that down towards the middle. And so you can see it because the background is a little bit darker and the log's a little bit brighter, now the shutter speed drops to 1/2500th of a second.
Right.
Instead of 1/2000th. I lied. This is F2. Carrying on. Okay. So you can see that it reads more of the log and therefore lets less light in to expose for the log.
Right.
If we go to spot, it's even tighter of a spot. The metering area is much, much tighter. So you can see it drops the exposure down to 1/3200.
Right.
So even less light. And now you can watch, you get more texture on the log. And the background tends to be a little more, a little darker. And then when we use center weighted, which uses basically reads the center, it reads the entire scene, but it gives more weight to the center, is what it says. It gives us a 1/1250, which I didn't like.
See.
Okay. So in the four different setups, I like the spot metering one the best.
I agree. Definitely like the spot metering the best.
The thing is, it usually takes a little bit longer to get that shot. That's the difference. So okay.
Well, I think that illustrates some of the differences, though.
Moving on.
Yeah.
This week's challenge. Last week's challenge.
Spot metering something. Oh, it's skin tone, right? It's placing the skin tone.
So that's what we're gonna. It's gonna tie right into this week's topic, which spoiler alert is gonna be. We're gonna sort of intro what we call what everybody calls the zone system, but because it's complicated, it's gonna be the light version, the zone system light. Because
so this is a term you've coined.
That the light, I've added the light, and I spell it LITE to be kind of cool and late night infomercial.
Okay.
So, but that's what we'll get to that. But the whole point of this, the placing the skin tone, was to lead into it. So, let's have a look at your picture.
Okay, so this was taken of my daughter at Science World,
mm-hmm.
and I this was last weekend. So I lied when I said I didn't take any pictures. I took a few pictures at Science World, mostly for the challenge. I was looking for a situation like we had kind of talked about on the last episode where you had a ton of bright light coming in behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really, you know, bright overcast day. And this, this part of Science World is just completely like windows everywhere. So there's, you can see all the bright light in behind Sarah. And she's on one of these like human hamster wheel kind of things where it's all about energy and how many joules of energy they can generate based on, you know, running on this wheel. So she's giving the wheel a whirl and I am trying to expose, for her face in using the spot metering, and then I'm just letting the background do what the background's going to do and not worrying about that.
This looks like a really tough scenario.
Well, it's like you can see, obviously, coming off the metallic surface of the wheel, like how much light is actually in there.
Mm-hmm.
And even her back, like it's, you know, it's so bright off her back. So I thought it was a, kind of an interesting example of exactly where this spot metering kind of comes in handy. Because I'd have had a hard time, I think, I'd have been chimping for a while to try to get her skin tone right in this situation. So I think I'm on an F2.2 here and an ISO... I can't remember if it's 400 or 800, but because she's running on this thing, I wanted a decent shutter speed. So that's where I wound up in order to get everything the way I wanted it. And I metered off her face, and I think I went, I think it was plus 2/3, like over zero.
Okay.
I went plus 2/3, and I'm metering off of her face. And I kind of used the trick that you talked about last time, like getting in close and then backing up to take the shot.
So when you say plus 2/3, what does that mean?
Well, that's on the metering. So as I'm watching as I'm looking through the lens and I'm watching that scale that goes from minus 2, which I'm assuming is like black,
mm-hmm.
to plus 2, which is white, I metered off her face and went with 2/3, so not quite to 1. So yeah.
So you decided her skin tones would fit best at plus 2/3.
Yeah, that's where I was guessing, and I think I'd read that somewhere. Maybe you'd mentioned that in the past. I'm not sure where I got that from. I tried 2/3, and I took a couple of pictures where I was metering her at 1 on her skin tone, and I liked the ones that were just a little down. The one seemed like they're a little blown out on her face, so yep. I went with the 2/3. Yeah,
you did it exactly right. That's exactly what we're looking for. I mean, in this situation, like you nailed it earlier when you said you would be chimping for a long time.
Yeah.
If you were to do that, you can shoot this with the evaluative, but you end up using the, you know, you end up going up or down, overexposing, underexposing based on what you like. And you end up kind of trusting your LCD screen, which you shouldn't.
Right.
And you end up missing the moment. Now, as it stands, you still have to take the time to move in and meter off her face, and then hopefully she continues on the hamster wheel.
Which she did.
So, no, this is a perfect example of this shot. Her skin tones, I think, are like the perfect. And lots of blown out highlights.
Yeah, which I actually like in this picture.
No, it's an absolute no-no in the digital, yeah. in the digital online world when people talk about it and discuss it on the bulletin boards and whatnot. Just
yeah,
kidding.
I like it.
I have no problem with it. I absolutely embrace blown highlights. It's been this sort of thing, this online sort of discussion that no, you can never, ever, ever blow highlights. If you blow highlights, the picture's ruined, which I completely disagree with. If you look at some of the best pictures of all time, it happens. But no, this looks fantastic. I don't think you'd have been able to really get this shot with evaluative.
I agree. I don't think I would have ended up with this shot. I would have darkened the background probably in my normal sort of method of shooting. I probably would have wound up with a much darker background.
And I think also your instinct would have been to stop down, not just for the background, but because of the light coming off the back of her shirt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good job. My only criticism has nothing to do with that is I'd like to see her feet, but
I agree.
She's moving quick.
Yep. I agree. And I had other pictures on the hamster wheel. I just, with the angle and with the light, I thought this was the best example of what we were after.
This is absolutely it's fantastic. Although
that
big fat head behind her there, he could have left.
Yeah, I could have done without him too.
Wow. That kind of looks like Randall, actually.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah. I'm guessing that our listeners probably don't know him, But
no, that was a little inside.
Yeah, a little inside of baseball right there. So, all right, let's go and have a look at my picture.
Okay.
Okay, this is the Terrible Two.
Oh, this is pre-muffin.
This is post-muffin.
He doesn't look so bad.
Oh, that's post-muffin, though. That's post-muffin and post-smashing up all of Alan's remote controls.
Oh no.
No, he's actually fine. But yeah, this is after the photo
shoot.
He
owes you a new remote control, though.
What's that?
But he owes you a new remote control.
Yeah, does he ever? Yeah, that's what he's getting for his birthday today. So, anyways, no, this was, we shot this after, we went for a walk after the photo shoot, and so I snapped this outside just to...
Photo walk, this is a photo walk.
Technically a photo walk, yeah, good right. Point. No, this was just sort of a kind of overcast scenario, and this is where I really like to use the spot metering. If you're outside and it's kind of nice, evenly overcast, if you get a good spot meter reading off a skin tone, and I did the same thing you did. I placed it at plus 2/3 because that's what I like.
Yeah.
We'll get into where all the recommendations are when we get into this week's topic. But I happen to like plus 2/3 myself. And so I placed this. I went and metered off him using the spot meter. And then I just left it. I just left the exposure setting on manual, of course.
Yeah.
But because I knew it was going to be just consistent light, nice flat light all everywhere, I didn't have to keep re-metering.
Okay.
So normally, if you're going to shoot with your evaluative mode here, as you include more or less of his jacket or his toque, your metering is going to be thrown off by how much dark and light are included in the photo.
Right.
Whereas if once you set it and forget it, you're going to get consistent images each time. So that's where the spot metering came in handy here.
Nice. And then I guess when it comes to editing, you know, you can edit one picture and then pretty much copy and paste the rest, right?
For the most part, yeah. It does speed things up. As mentioned earlier, I'll let it go and have to deal with it in a year, but...
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. That's this week's photo challenge.
Beautiful. All right. So let's see you next week.
We're gonna get into the topic. Explain.
Oh, right. There's everything. A topic.
So this week's topic is the zone system light.
Yes.
So what is? Do you know anything about the zone system?
I don't. I'm here to learn.
This one is. It's one of those things. It's a famous thing that Ansel Adams. You've heard of him, right?
Yeah, I have heard.
Okay.
I don't know who it is, but I know the name.
Great nature photographer.
Okay.
He was the man. Like his pictures are amazing. And people think, you know, hey, great. How do you make a picture of a tree amazing? I guess that's his genius.
Okay.
He's great, great, great photos. A lot of black and white.
When we're done here and I'm done sleeping, I'm going to look up his pictures.
Okay. So he developed that in 1939-ish with a guy named Fred Archer, which I didn't know. I had to Google him because it occurred to me that he probably developed it with somebody else, the process, but he gets full credit for it. So if you just say Ansel Adams invented the zone system, that'll get you by a party. People okay. Will be, you know, they'll nod. Anyways.
So you look smart.
You look smart. And so it was developed around 1939 for black and white film, or sheet prints or whatever he was shooting, but it can be used today in digital. That's the good news.
Okay.
So it can get really complicated, and I'll be straight up, I'm no expert on this in terms of the full complicated method, but I do use a basic method, and so we'll just talk a little bit about that, about how you can apply it into your everyday photo taking.
Okay, you've got me. I'm interested. Don't lose me here. You got me right now.
It's going to be catch and release though. So you're okay. It's going to work out fine for you.
Okay.
So the last couple of photo challenges that we did placing. You first of all using spot meter without looking.
Yeah.
No chimping, and then this week we did placing a skin tone. Well, that was on purpose. it was leading into the zone system, light.
Well, you've got a master plan.
Well, as far as you know.
Okay.
So, first off, before we get into all of that, we want to talk about a little concept called dynamic range. Do you know what that means?
No.
Okay. Well, kind of derailed the show.
You know what? Just put on the Wheel of Fortune music for a few minutes and I'll go look it up.
Dynamic range. Well, basically it means how much the range your camera can see from black to white, from light to dark. How much range can it actually register?
Okay.
So in this case, like for a long time, digital was, you know, inferior to film in that regard. It just couldn't see that light and that dark all in one scene. And so depends on which film you're talking about, black and white film or color film or what's, you know, which specific film stock you're using. But I think the general accepted range for film would be how many stops?
I don't know.
Roughly 7.
Okay.
It give or take. I mean, you can push it, and I don't know. Some people claim they can get 9. I don't know, but 7 is generally what the film can see. Which means that if you expose for middle gray, you have your regular exposure.
Yeah.
You have things in your image that are 3.5 stops overexposed from that.
Okay.
It will still register as something versus just blowing out to complete white.
Okay.
On the other side, it'll go 3.5, roughly 3.5 down towards black until it gets completely black. So right. that makes 7, basically call it 7 different stops.
And that would be considered the dynamic range of film.
Right.
Okay. I'm still with you here.
And so as that translates into digital, as the technology has progressed, digital has gotten better. And so some people claim that they get basically the exact same out of digital that they would out of film. And they might be right. I don't know. I've never gone and done a scientific test. I'm pretty happy with the way digital works, so I'm not going to get too far into it.
Yeah.
So, but it's roughly the same. It's figure on, you can go 3 down, 3 up, and still register an image. But for our purposes, let's call it, you can go down -2 to +2.
And that's basically the way the light meter works, right?
Exactly. And they do that for a reason. So if you're looking at your little light meter in the bottom of your eyepiece, and you can see it goes up in 1/3 increments, up to +2, down to -2, and with your 0 right in the middle. And up until now, if you've been shooting on manual, your whole goal is to get that little arrow to hit 0. Little arrow, triangle, or whatever it is, a little mark.
Yeah, it's a little line. Yeah,
little line, depending on your camera. You want that to just be on 0, and that's how you metered and went ahead.
Right.
Okay. So let's say -2 is black with detail, meaning it's a dark shadow, but you can still see that there's something in the shadow.
Okay.
And that white is +2, and it has a little bit of detail. So if you're shooting snow, for instance, the snow will be very, very white, but you will see that there is some texture there instead of just like a white background there or something that you've, you know, cut out in Photoshop.
Okay.
It's still going to hold the details. Now, if you shoot in RAW, which I think we talked about quite a bit, but never been specific about why you should shoot RAW. Well, this is one of the reasons, because it will basically hold a little bit more information. If you shoot
within that +2 or -2,
within the +2, you can push it a little further than that, and then deal with it in the AM when you're posting it.
Okay.
So far so good. That makes sense.
So far, I'm still with you. It all makes sense.
And I forgot to mention that middle gray is 0. So we got -2 black, middle gray, which we talked about with the gray card and that at 0, and white being +2. That's our range.
Okay.
Where does skin tone fit? Like, if we're going to decide where does skin tone fit in there, because that's what's important. That's what we're always concerned, almost always concerned about, is where's the skin tone going to be. Where does that normally go?
And I guess we've kind of hit on this, but now it makes more sense. But I guess it depends on the color of the skin.
It does depend on the color of the skin. That's the funny thing is that when everybody is very, very PC when talking about skin tone in photography.
Okay.
In fact, a lot of the literature you read, they won't say light. They won't even call it light skin necessarily. They'll call it European.
Okay.
So instead of saying white people,
yeah,
it'll be European or light skin, and so generally someone like, you know, myself or yourself, they recommend that you go at about plus one.
But I'm darker than you.
Probably are. So maybe you're probably a plus 2/3. In the summer though, I get pretty dark. So
okay.
In the wintertime, yes. A lot of it is your body hair though.
No, but my kids are very fair. So, but I'm finding that they kind of register nicely at about 2/3.
It comes down to taste, and that's what I happen to like as well. Is the recommendation is plus one, which is a good starting point. But so if you're going to like, let's say you're going to go start out right now, my recommendation is you're going to go start using this method and shoot your friends, and if they are European.
Yeah.
You start metering for them to be at plus one. And then go from there. And then later on, if you don't like it, then bring it down a little bit and start shooting it, you know, plus 2/3. Or maybe you want to go a little bit hotter even. Like, if you have some people, some of your subjects are really, really fair-skinned, really light-skinned, that might be at, you know, one and one-third.
Okay.
Relative to the rest of the scene.
And then obviously you just go the other way, the darker the skin.
The darker the skin. Yeah, so if you have friends that are, you know, dark skin is what they like to say. You know, you got or black friends or Japanese or, you know, whatever. In Canada, the good news is, you know, you have them all.
Right.
You get pretty much at least one of each.
Yeah.
You have to kind of decide where those are going to go.
And so just experimentation.
There's probably a chart somewhere, you know, like I'm guessing like, you know, black skin would probably be around zero.
Okay.
But again, it's going to be, you know, determined on what you like the best. But it's important to know what your benchmark is, to establish your benchmark and go, okay, this is what I like.
Okay.
And work from there.
Yeah.
So
don't make the chart though, because you're going to offend somebody.
Yeah. Make sure you go really PC on how you describe it.
You're doing an excellent job, by the way.
I'm really dancing the tightrope. That's the funny thing is all my friends who are of those different colors don't really care. if I talk like this,
I'm pretty sure you've offended them all at a party at some point.
Yeah, but not racially.
That's true.
There's plenty of other ways I offend them. So, and if I were to do this tightrope dance in front of them, they would just laugh at me. So, good news. So I blame you.
Okay.
All right. So how do you do this? Like, how does this look like physically when we go out and actually shoot? Like, what is the methodology? Tell me how you did it.
I basically, like I think I described, I looked through the lens and I went in close and metered off my. So when I say metered, I'm watching that little dot move across from zero to plus 2/3, and based on where I set my ISO and where I set my shutter speed and my aperture, I can make in manual the adjustments up or down. So, you know, to shift it over in the direction I want it to be. And so once I've got the appropriate aperture and shutter speed to have that little light meter register 2/3 with, you know, my daughter's face as the primary focal point, then I back up and take the shot.
Okay. Even I stopped listening on that one.
No, but did that not make sense?
It did. It made a lot of sense, except for it was a lot of info.
It's too wordy.
So let's say when you went to take a picture of Sarah.
Right.
At the one at the Science World.
Don't make me say it again.
No, I want you to be specific. When you had your camera sitting there, what was the first thing you did? What was the first thing you said?
ISO.
Okay, so you have an idea of the ISO of what you're going to shoot with. In that scenario, you're going to shoot with whatever, 400, I think you picked.
Yeah, okay? I think it was 400.
So you know that, you establish that, boom, that's locked down.
Yeah.
Next thing, what do you pick next?
I think the next thing I did was look at where the light meter was. I think I wanted the aperture next, so I think I went to a 2.2.
Okay, that's the next step. That's exactly how I work as well. I know my ISO. I then determine what f-stop I'm going to use would like to use, starting point.
Yeah.
Dial that in.
And then I look at where the light meter is registering.
Right. Now, so that means the last thing you change, all you're changing now is shutter speed.
Right.
Okay. That's what I was getting at. So now using the spot meter, you move in on her face and adjust the shutter speed until that... Here's a way to think about it. You go in, you adjust the shutter speed until the line is right on zero.
Okay.
You're metering for zero, boom, middle gray, her face is perfect. Then you open up one stop. Okay? So let's say you get a shutter speed of 1/500th. That's at zero. You're going to want to open up one stop because you want her face to be one stop brighter. You dial the shutter speed back to 1/250th.
Okay.
That's essentially what you're doing. Now, there's a faster way, and that's what sounds like what you did, is rather than set the line at zero, you just called one, or in this case, 2/3, the new zero.
Exactly.
And you just dial the shutter speed in until that line hits one.
Exactly. And that probably, you know, from the time I decided what the ISO and the aperture I wanted was going to be, it probably took me not more than 10 seconds.
Right.
You know, looking through the lens to just kind of, you know, move it to where I wanted. So it's really quick to do.
Now, with practice, it becomes very quick.
Yeah.
And you can determine, okay, that's it. That's exactly where I want it to be. Back up, take the shot. Now what happens with the rest of the blacks and the whites, and I talk about this in photographic terms, the shadows and the highlights in your scene, what happens to them? Do you even care?
In this situation, I didn't care.
Right. As long as you've exposed for the face. Now, we talked about blown highlights already. Again, to reiterate, I don't care about blown highlights. I have no problem with them. If it serves your picture, then go ahead. Let it happen. I don't like to have too much blown out. Like to have.
I find for most of my pictures, I don't blow them out. Mm-hmm. But when I use it occasionally, I often find that I really like it. But maybe that's just to change it up.
Could be. I also like to keep it as a small percentage of the frame. I don't want it to necessarily be to dominate the image.
Right.
So now let's go a different way. So you don't want to set the skin tone. Maybe you have a scene without people in it. How are we going to meter now?
Good question. I don't have an answer for that.
Well,
I don't know. I guess it depends on, again, your taste and what you care about most in the photo. Whatever your subject in that photo is, I guess you're metering for that.
Okay, let's say you're out going for a snow walk.
Okay.
And you want to take a picture of, you know, the landscape. What do you think you would do?
I think I'd probably try to make the snow look appropriate. So if I'm metering off the snow and that's going to be bright, I'm probably going to be setting it closer to get the aperture and the shutter speed so that I get it closer to +2 rather than the +1 or 2/3.
Exactly. So now you're going to meter off the snow. I usually meter off the snow at basically what I like to do. Is if you meter off the snow and set it to zero and then open up two stops.
Right.
Because I find that when you're metering at +2, using the method we talked about earlier, but just setting it at +2, if you go over a little bit, you can't read anymore. You can't read if it's going to go +2 1/3.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you have to kind of tinker a little bit to see that you're not too far over. By if you make a slight adjustment, it drops below 2, then you probably know you're in the ballpark.
Exactly. So I generally shoot for 1 2/3 to 2 to make sure that I'm right at the edge there. And that's what you determine, and you tell your camera, okay, that's what the snow is going to look like, and then the rest of the image will fall into place.
Right.
Now, if you're going to be shooting, let's say, a bride at a wedding, that's a very similar method. You can meter off her dress, call it 1 2/3, and let the rest of the scene fall into place. Now, let's say you're shooting at night, and you want to establish some dark areas. The opposite is true. You go and basically set your black point at around -2 or -1 2/3 and let the rest of the image fall into place there.
Okay. Sounds easy enough.
Yes, but does that mean if you set your white point at +2, will all your skin tones fall into place exactly where you want them?
Maybe not, because you haven't made that the priority anymore.
Right. Depending on your scene, they may not expose properly. And that's where we use bounce, or we have to alter the scene somewhat to sort of bring in, to balance it all out. So,
or flash, obviously.
Or flash, or anything else, any kind of way to modify the scene to sort of bring the dynamic range of the scene closer to what the camera can see entirely.
Right.
But there you go. So
that's great.
That's how we use the light version of the zone system. Now, when you're going to go and shoot this, first of all, any questions? Do you think you have it nailed?
I've got it. It's locked and loaded, buddy.
Okay. So now when you shoot your picture and you go to check, how do you go and check if it's good on scene?
How do I go and check? Oh, instead of, you know, looking at the LCD.
Well, is that what you do?
I think I probably do a combination of I look at the LCD and then
Don't spoil it.
What? I can't say it. Can't say the word.
We'll talk about that next week. Okay, my question to you is, when you shoot your shot using this system, especially, go ahead and look at your LCD screen to see if you got it. Can you trust that image?
No.
No. And we'll tell you how to get around that next week. This is sort of the cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. I love saying that. Cliffhanger.
Okay, you can go ahead and I'll make your day. You can go ahead and give the teaser. What are we going to talk about next week?
Histograms.
How to use your histogram. And it's, unfortunately, and I don't think you and I have been over this entirely, it actually gets a little more complicated than it should.
Okay.
And I'll go over about all the complications.
Oh, wow. Way to sell it.
I'll make it easy. Actually, I'll make it so we'll talk about it, how to get around the complications so that you get better results. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay, I can breathe now, man. I was worried that was going to be very, very confusing, the whole zone system.
We'll see if you can make it more confusing next week.
Oh, the zone system gets way more confusing when you start talking about placing tons of different tones, and when you do it in, like, if you're going in the wet dark room and you're using the zone system on film and then processing your own shots, it gets very confusing.
All right, well, let's try not to think about that.
Let's skip that, yeah. Let's go look at puppies and butterflies and stuff.
That's right.
That's much better. So, I have a challenge for next week.
All right.
I struggled because I thought, because I don't know if you've noticed, but the last few challenges, well, I guess you have noticed, I blurted it out earlier, have fed into what we're going to talk about the next week.
Right.
So I was like, well, how can we do a histogram? Like, what's gonna fit in there? So this one,
and?
I'm tying the zones, light zone system in with the histogram, and I want you to go and expose for the highlights.
Okay.
That's the challenge, is you got to take a photo, whatever it is, you're going to set the highlights.
Sounds good.
And we'll talk about a little bit more about that next week.
Great.
So, until then, where can people find all your pictures, especially about, where are you going?
We're going to go to Bellevue, just north of Seattle.
Okay.
We're going to hit Seattle too, though, so don't worry. There'll be a couple Seattle shots thrown in
so
there.
So Seattle won't be
they
jealous.
They can be found at schwartzchronicles.com.
I talked over that. Please say it again.
Schwartz, as in me, chronicles.com.
Right. Great.
And your stuff, of course, where can we find
Well, that's
stuff?
The important part.
Yeah, exactly. Save the best for last.
AlanAttridge.com. You can find my personal stuff. Or both of us are at twohosers.com, where you can find all the info you need to know about Google+, Flickr, horses. No, not horses.
Not horses.
No, I just figured it, yeah. What else is on there? Anything you want? Twitter?
Yep.
iTunes?
Yep.
RSS feed?
Check.
Yep. Anything you want to know is at twohosers.com. So until next week, get out there and make better photos.